The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Full time at Celtic Park, Celtic 4, Hearts 1. It moves Celtic 9 points clear of Rangers. They've got a huge advantage in terms of goal difference, and that means the league title is pretty much in the bag. The fans know it, the pundits in here know it, the players know it. They're just waiting for that official confirmation either tomorrow if Rangers drop points, or in midweek as well. So we'll wait with interest to see what happens in the next few days. We're going to hear from Ange Postecoglou. Celtic fans, you can tweet us your thoughts. Let's go round the grounds first and get the build up to the 3 o'clock games. Here's Roger Hanna at St Mirren.
Yeah, and it could be a momentous day for Dundee because they will be relegated back to the Championship after just a single season in the Premiership, Gordon. If they lose here in Paisley today against St Mirren, and St Johnstone get their second win of the season at Livingston. Mark McGee said they're 5 points adrift of St Johnstone, just 3 games left. And only 5 wins all season from 35 fixtures. They're still chasing a first win under McGee. 5 draws and 6 defeats in the 11 games in charge since he succeeded James McPake at Dens. They did win here in October, Max Anderson scoring the only goal, and they desperately need to repeat that and hope that Livingston can manage to get a victory against St Johnstone at Armond Vale. St Mirren's win at Perth last week followed 5 straight defeats for Stephen Robinson, and they look sure to be safe now. They're 8 clear of St Johnstone with a better goal difference and just those 3 games to go. Robinson makes 1 change this afternoon. Conor Ronan is out injured. In fact, he may have played his last game for St Mirren before returning from his loan spell to Wolves in the summer. Ethan Erhahon comes in for him in midfield. So it's Jack Anik in goal. To back three, Marcus Fraser, Joe Shaughnessy, the skipper, and Conor McCarthy. Across the middle, Richard Tate, Alec Gogic, Ethan Erhahon, and Scott Tanzer, with Greg Kilty, the goal hero in Perth 7 days ago, tucked in behind Alec Grieve and Curtis Main. On the bench, Lioness, Flynn, Power, Henderson, Brophy, and 16-year-old striker Aidan Gilmartin, who could get on for a St Mirren debut today. Dundee, I think Mark McGee is going for it this afternoon. A very attacking lineup. 2 changes from the side that lost 1-0 to that Lewis Ferguson penalty at Pittodrie 7 days ago. Luke McCowan and Zach Rudden come in for Anderson and Paul McMullen. So it's young Harry Sharp in goal again. A back four, Cammy Kerr, Ryan Sweeney, Jordan McGee and Jordan Marshall. Across the middle, Niall McGinn, Paul McGowan, Charlie Adam and Luke McCowan. And up top, it's Zach Rudden with Danny Mullen. On the bench, Welsh, Fontaine and Byrne, Chapman, Mulligan and McMullen, Robertson, Anderson and Daly Campbell. And the referee at St Mirren this afternoon is David Dickinson.
Yeah, of course, it's been a big day at the top of the table. Roger, Celtic pretty much winning the title. And it could be a significant day at the bottom. We could have both ends pretty much rounded up if it doesn't go to plan for Dundee today.
Yeah, we could. And listen, they've struggled near the bottom all the way through. You know, the playoffs are starting. You saw Inverness beating Partick Thistle last night. I was surprised when Dundee beat Kilmarnock and got into the Premiership. I wonder if it was a season too early for them, and it's beginning to look that way, Gordon. They've always been down near the bottom, stuck down there with St Johnstone. They were stuck Ross County for a long spell of the season as well, were down there, but they've never been able to get a sustained sequence of results. As we say, the stats don't lie. 5 wins from 35 league games, no wins in the last 11 under Mark McGee. It is relegation form, and if things go against them today, they will be back in the Championship.
I mean, I saw words to the, I'm paraphrasing Mark McGee here, but something along the lines of, you know, they're due a win, they're building up to a win. The Dundee fans probably don't quite share his optimism, but is there any life left in them at all?
I think he's really going for it today. As we say, a lot of attacking players on the pitch. Look at that front six, Rudden and Mullen up top, McGinn and McCowan out wide. In the centre mid, Paul McGowan and Charlie Adam on their own. So it's one that would hint they're just going to go from the first whistle. They're going to try and take the game to St Mirren. They're running out of games to save themselves. They've got this today, I think next is at Livingston next weekend, and they've got Hibs on Tuesday night at Dens Park. They're running out of games to save themselves. I think if they don't win here today, they're doomed.
Yes, it certainly looks like it. Let's keep going then. The game at Easter Road is interesting because it's not got as much attached to it as it really should have, Fraser Wishart. That's the reality, sadly, for you today between Hibs and Aberdeen.
It is, and it's quite sad to see two of our bigger clubs in such a poor state at this time of the season. You know, if we're going to have a really flourishing league, we need these two to be up in the top six and challenging the Ulster, challenging Hearts. But it's been a really poor season for both, and not really, as you say, a whole lot to play for here today. Usually this time of season there's something to play for in the bottom six, but it's a Livingston as well, and maybe even St Mirren, not really much to play for these clubs. And I suppose in this case, seventh, and the prize money that goes with that is there to be won, but small beer really for two clubs who have had a really poor season. I think the fans of both will be desperate for the season to end. Hibs started with real hope. They're top of the table for a week at one point. They got to the League Cup final, but it's just all fallen apart from then on, and including caretaker David Gray, three managers, Jack Ross, Sean Maloney, sacked too early, in my opinion, both of them. And since the turn of the year, they've hardly scored a goal. And for Aberdeen fans, it's been traumatic from the start. Very few bright spots. An early League Cup defeat against Wraith set the tone. Stephen Glass lost his job. They didn't get the Jim Goodwin bounce. And you can just see a full overhaul ahead in the summer. I just hope the players can relax and put on a show for the supporters. Pitch is looking great, conditions are excellent. Certainly no reason for them to sit back, and the result doesn't really matter. But both managers resisted temptation to make wholesale change and introduce youngsters. And a momentous day for Hibs skipper Paul Hanlon. It's rare these days for players to spend a long time at one club, but the captain is making his 500th appearance for his beloved Hibernian today. And congrats to him, he joins his good pal Lewis Stevenson in the 500 plus club. There have been two changes by David Gray. Stevenson and Scott dropped to the bench. In comes Ryan Portis after his long suspension, and Josh Campbell. They go on the usual lines. Matt Macy in goals, a back three. Paul McGinn, Ryan Portis and Paul Hanlon. Four across the middle, Harry Clark, Jake Doyle-Hayes, Joe Newell and Josh Doig, with Josh Campbell and Ewan Henderson behind the lone striker, Elias Melkerson. The subs are Dabrowski, Stevenson, McGregor, Jasper, Bouchari, Scott, Hauge, Blaney and Aitken. For Aberdeen, just one change from the team that beat Dundee last week. Christian Mieres drops to the bench, and fellow American Paul Valera comes into the midfield. Joe Lewis is in goals. Robbie McCrory, Declan Gallagher, David Bates and Jack McKenzie at the back. Conor Bannon and Lewis Ferguson sitting in midfield with Vincente Bezwan, Don Pulvara and Johnny Hayes behind the lone striker, Marley Watkins, Gary Woods, Andy Constantine, Christian Ramirez, Adam Montgomery, Dylan McGeer, Funsu Ojo, Conor McLennan, Teddy Jenks and Michael Ruth are the subs, and the rest of the Easter Road is Bobby Madden.
Now let's go to the Tony Macaroni, Livy St Johnston, watched by David Friel.
Yeah, Gordon, and I mean Roger highlighted how much he's in it for Dundee today, but there's a lot on the line for St Johnston too. You know, they start the day in 11th place. They're 8 points behind St Mirren and Aberdeen above them, 5 in front of Dundee below them. So their hopes of avoiding the relegation playoff are almost certainly over after the loss to St Mirren last weekend, but that could become official today depending on the results here and elsewhere. But if St Johnston lose and Dundee win, then it could become extremely nervy in the final two games, you know. So St Johnston need to beat Livy and hope that one of the two above them lose to keep that playoff fight alive in the final two games. It's unlikely they'll pull off that great escape, but Callum Davison will expect his players to give their all today. But as I said, Mark McGee's side are just 5 points behind them. They're going for it today, and they're still hoping and waiting for that relegation lifeline. So it's a must win for St Johnston today, and they have actually won their last three visits to the Tony Macaroni, but they're facing the informed side of the bottom six in Livy. They were so unlucky to miss out in the top six at last minute equaliser at Motherwell, sorry, against Motherwell. And they secured wins over Aberdeen and Hibs in the first 2 weeks of the split. So Livy are determined to finish seventh clearly, and they're certainly favourites to do that as things stand. They're unchanged from the team that beat Hibs last week. It's Ivan Konovalov in goals, Nicky Devlin, Jack Fitzwater, Ayo Obalai and Morgan Boys at the back, with Jason Holt, Sean Kelly and Scott Pittman across the middle, and Odin Bailey, Joel Nubley and Andrew Shinney in attack. As for Livy subs, Mealy, McMillan, Lewis, Montano, Sibbald, Forrest, Soto, Chukwuemeka and Longridge. St Johnston made three changes from that St Mirren defeat. Dan Cleary, Cam McPherson and Stevie May came in for Tom Sang, Ali Crawford and Nadir Chifchi. So it looks like Mark Wilson's bet might not come up after all. The St Johnston team is Xander Clark in goals, Dan Cleary, Liam Gordon, Jamie McCarthy at the back, Sean Rooney, Milka Holberg, Murray Davison and Callum Booth in midfield, with Cammy McPherson in behind Callum Hendry and Stevie May. Subs for St Johnston are Parrish, Brown, Crawford, Middleton, Mann, Bear, Chifchi, Butterfield and Sang, and the referee at the Tony Mac is Willie Collum.
There is a big game in the battle for Europe in the Highlands. Ross County taking on Motherwell. Dave Galloway is there.
Yeah, the race for Europe, Gordon, looks set to go right down to the wire, doesn't it? And there's just 1 point separating these two contenders. Ross County currently occupy fifth place, which would secure Europa Conference football, and a win would put them in a commanding position with only two games to go. But a Motherwell victory would put things in their hands, so plenty at stake this afternoon, which is great to see so late in the campaign, isn't it? You know, surely this match will have anything but a kind of stale end of season feel to it. County had a decent 0-0 draw away to Hearts last weekend, while the Well went down 1-0 to Dundee United. You wonder, will that give the hosts some kind of advantage over their visitors? Several of them, by the way, have been suffering from illness this week. We'll come to the Motherwell squad in a moment, but Ross County, firstly, just the one change for them. Baldwin is in for Watson. It's Laidlaw in goals, a back four of Randall, Baldwin, Iacovitti and Vokins. Tilson and Kankola, the sitters. Further forward, Spittle, Callaghan and Charles Cook, with White leading the line. Munro, Dominic Samuel, Sims, Watson, Burrows, Drysdale, Hungbo, Ben Payton and Wright are the substitutes. As for Motherwell, three changes for them. O'Donnell, Donnelly and Efford replace Mugabe, Slattery and Woolery. So they will line up. Kelly in goals, looks like a back three of O'Donnell, Lamy and Ojala. Midfield, O'Hara, Goss, Donnelly and Carroll, with Tierney tucked in behind Efford and Shields up top. Substitutes for the Well today: Connolly, Van Veen, Shaw, Slattery, Cornelius, Campbell and Mann. And your referee here at gloriously sunny Dingwall is David Munro.
That's a big game, Hugh Keevans, because for all the negativity that's surrounding Motherwell's recent form and the manager and everything else, they are 1 point behind Ross County and could very well end the season with European qualification.
But they won't. Ross County, I think, will take advantage of what looks to me like an understrength Motherwell side. And thereafter, Motherwell have to play Celtic on the final day. They'll get nothing there. I think today is all important. I think Ross County, Malky Mackay, to be fair, that's why he was shortlisted for Manager of the Year. He, like Ange Postecoglou, recovered from an awful start, and I just think that they have everything in their favour: momentum, Regan Charles Cook, and all round just too much for Motherwell.
Ross County don't have brilliant momentum, Mark. They've won one of their last five, and I get Hugh's point, but it's a bit early for match predictions. I'm not necessarily asking for a prediction, it's the possibility. That's what makes it a big game. Like we said, yeah, Motherwell down and out, but any team can sneak a win and all of a sudden it would elevate them into a European place.
Yeah, well, for Motherwell fans like you guys, you must, you know, you kind of believe what yous are seeing at the minute, because how many weeks have we had callers on here saying that Graeme Alexander is doing things wrong, he's using the wrong midfield, his job's on the line? But the reality is, he goes to Dingwall today, he wins, and they're in the driving seat. It's been quite an unusual season, but if you're a Motherwell fan, you've got to be pleased that you're still in with a chance at this moment in time. That game could go any which way today. You know, you can't call these games at this stage.
Missed Van Veen for the last two games because he's been suspended. He's back, Gordon, but he's on the bench. Motherwell tweeting that he's been ill. So is Callum Slattery, so they're only fit enough for a place on the bench. It's not a Motherwell team that I'm detecting a lot of positivity about on social media, let's say that.
No, unfortunately, the main man is you know, back, but he's ill, and he's obviously got to try and play a part on the bench. They'll use him later on in the game, Gordon. I'm looking at Motherwell. It's just been, I think Graeme Alexander's been very fortunate this year because of, you know, it's been a sort of peculiar season with teams like Aberdeen and Hibs down there. Motherwell picking up 4 points since January, still in the top six by the skin of their teeth, but they're still got an opportunity of Europe. But if they're going to have that opportunity, they've got to get 3 points today. And it will be difficult against Ross County up there. We know it will be difficult, because if you look at the remaining fixtures, Hearts at home, Celtic away, I'm not holding out much hope for that. So today is so important, not just for the 3 points, but I think Motherwell need a spark. They need a bit of confidence. And as much as Graeme Alexander's coming out week in, week out, saying, yeah, we're playing well, unfortunately, last week at Dan, we could have got something, you've got to get results.
A big afternoon then in the battle for Europe, but an even bigger afternoon at the top. Celtic have all but wrapped up the Scottish Premiership title with a convincing victory against Hearts. You can tweet us your thoughts at Clyde SSB, and we will look back on another impressive afternoon for Ange Postecoglou after these.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Huge games at 3 o'clock up and down the Premiership. Unfortunately, Hibs and Aberdeen doesn't have a great deal riding on it. Livy St Johnstone in there as well, but St Mirren, Dundee, sorry, I should include Livy St Johnstone in the relegation battle, along with St Mirren, Dundee, and Ross County Motherwell in that European battle as well. Now, of course, there is one game done, and it was a significant one. Celtic beating Hearts by 4-1. It means the chances of them being caught are pretty much non-existent, and they will be champions of the Scottish Premiership at the end of the season. Let's continue to look back on that, since we've already given you team news from the 3 o'clock games. What are we, 40 minutes on, Hugh? The dust is beginning to settle. How would you collect your thoughts on what's been achieved by Celtic today?
Astonishing achievement by Ange Postecoglou, a man who kept his nerve. I think that's the most important thing, because while all around him was burning, he was the calmest man in the place. To lose 3 away games immediately to Hearts, to Rangers, to Livingston, and not have anyone with you that you are well aware of on a long-standing basis. He kept his nerve. He has worked closely with John Kennedy. He has acknowledged that their partnership works. And then they embarked on the run. And it's the run that has taken them to this point today, where they are the champions. And I would expect them to continue at Tannadice midweek, and at Motherwell, against Motherwell next Saturday, to make it 32 in a row undefeated. It doesn't matter what Rangers are doing if their greatest rivals simply refuse to lose. And 5 draws and 25 wins in 30 consecutive matches say an awful lot for Ange Postecoglou. No matter what has been going on around him, he has held his nerve, and he's never... You cannot look back on one day when Ange Postecoglou lost the plot. There has never been a press conference where he has been critical of match officials or players or anything else. He simply got the head down, got on with the job, got the Manager of the Year award. He'll get another one on Sunday night, I have no doubt, at the Scottish Football Writers Association. And he will accept that tomorrow night as the championship-winning manager.
Roger Hannah, what impressed you most about Celtic this season?
It was a sort of shock factor, if you like, especially after those 6 games. And Hugh's right, the fact that the manager held his nerve when all around him were losing theirs very early was really impressive. He's not a young manager. Just because we didn't know much about his background, you know, he's been to a World Cup finals with his national team. He has enjoyed success in Australia. He's enjoyed success in Japan. He didn't just come down with the last shower. And his confidence in his own principles and his own beliefs, and that kind of unwavering sense that he would get it right, he would get the players in who would fit into his style of play, and that has impressed me. The sort of strength of character of the man, if you like, Gordon. He has had setbacks, that terrible start, going out of 3 European competitions, losing in the Scottish Cup to Rangers. It hasn't all been plain sailing, but in terms of the league, hugely impressive. The run of consistency from September onwards is worthy of winning any title.
Yeah, the shock factor, says Roger Hanna, Fraser Wisher. I wonder how you feel about that, because football achievements are sort of held up against expectations, aren't they? You know, there are favourites in there, there are teams that are expected to do things, and it's when those expectations get surpassed is when people really enjoy the success.
Yeah, I think we've all spoken about it at the start of the season. We were all asked to tip who was going to win the league, and I don't think there was very many, if any, of us that would have tipped Celtic, given that the turmoil had been through the year before. But whoever was responsible, whether it was Dominic Mackay or somebody else, for bringing in Ange Postecoglou also deserves a huge pat on the back, because these guys from Australia and from other countries on the other side of the world, they travel well, and he had a good record as Roger's seen with the national team and in Japan, etc., comes over here. Unlike some people who come into clubs and demand their own staff, he said, okay, no problems, I'll back my own ability. You tell me these guys are good. And he just brought everybody with him on the journey. But there was a period when they started the season and European results weren't great. They're playing some lovely football, great to watch for the neutral. But they were losing lots of goals as well. The squad was small and the window had closed. Christie had left, Edward had left as well. And I think at that point, some people are thinking this could go horribly wrong for Celtic and for fans Postecoglou, but he stuck by his principles. You know, he plays the same way despite many people criticising his formations and his tactics in Europe, and it's entertaining to watch. It's high energy, it's high octane, but it's also really good football, and he plays with a lot of good football players in key places. And as we said before, the January transfer window is the key. We spoke about the Japanese players, but Matt O'Reilly's come in. What a signing he is from MK Dons, and he's just, and he had the trust to put him into the Old Firm game straight away after the winter break. Trusted his own judgment, trusted the judgment of those around him. And I think he just motivates players and gets them to play the best possible way. And over the summertime now, priorities are me getting Jota and getting Carter Vickers in. But that's going to take a huge chunk out of his budget, remember, just to remain the same. Because it's two huge transfer fees and two large salaries. But I think they'll get them in. And it's just a bit tinkering after that. It's maybe getting two or three more in, whereas other clubs, including Rangers, probably a bigger overhaul.
Yeah, I mean, David Friel, a lot of this will become about the manager, just the impact that he's had, but I'm sure he'd be the first to give praise to other people around the club as well.
Yeah, 100%, you know, and someone mentioned John Kennedy earlier on, Gordon, and I think John Kennedy, probably Gavin Strachan and Stevie Woods all took a lot of criticism last year. You know, some of it was pretty personal, you know, especially for John Kennedy, a guy who's won so much at Celtic over the years, a guy who Brendan Rodgers and Neil Lennon had immense trust in. You know, he was vilified in many quarters, and I think for Ange Postecoglou to trust him again, to keep going and to then play such an important role along with Gavin Strachan and Stevie Woods in winning this title says a lot about their credentials. But also on the pitch, you know, I spoke earlier about the fact he probably signed 15 players and maybe 12 or 13 have made a huge impact. But he also had those guys that were still here. And you look at Callum McGregor, you know, he won PFA Player of the Year last year. He was a ready-made captain. He had big shoes to fill when Scott Brown left, but he was ready for it. And, you know, during those rocky early stages, Ange Postecoglou needed someone on the field to settle the players, to make the players trust in what he was doing and believe in what he's doing. I don't think he could have asked for anybody better than Callum McGregor. So a lot of people have come into the club last summer and made a big impact, but certain people, including John Kennedy and Callum McGregor, have made a huge, huge impact in this title win.
Yeah, what about the team of players, Gordon? I mean, it goes without saying, the success that Ange Postecoglou has brought today, he will get so much praise for it. What about the players out there?
Yeah, that's what management's all about, Gordon. It's recruitment, getting the players in, the style of football. I think his success has been the fact that he's his own man. He's in control of a football club. You know, a lot of coaches nowadays in the modern day game get players passed down to them information, and they basically coach the players and then put them out on the pitch and they take the consequences of the results. I don't think Postecoglou's like that. I think he's got his finger on everything that happens in Celtic Park. The players, he's got the utmost respect from the players. They know that this is a guy that will not stand back and let, you know, egos get in the way of what he's trying to achieve for me. I just love the way he comes about. The boys were saying he never rants and raves. He has his moments. He comes out there, he speaks. When he speaks, you listen to him. That's what I like about Postecoglou. That's what I like about a manager. As a player, you give respect. As a manager speaks, the dressing room goes quiet. Everybody takes information in. He strikes me as that man. He's been absolutely brilliant for Celtic.
Another interesting development as well with the appointment of Mark Lowell as head of recruitment. He knows Ange Postecoglou well. There's a relationship there. It's better that way. They have each other's trust. And the summertime will be busy for Celtic. Apart from Carter Vickers and Jota, other players will have to be brought in. You know, they are champions and deservedly so, and it is a stunning achievement for Ange Postecoglou. But he will know there's a lot of money sloshing about now. Rangers are banking a lot of money from Europe. Celtic will bank a lot of money from qualification for the Champions League group stages. Scotland as a place to come to is now infinitely more attractive. We've got one Scottish team in a European final, and we've got in Celtic and Rangers clubs who are seen on television the world over, and players are looking at that and thinking, I wouldn't mind a bit of that myself. And they are in the Champions League. There is no need for waiting to see if they make the Champions League. Celtic are in the Champions League, and they can attract players for that reason.
Would you have liked to have played under Ange Postecoglou, Mark?
I would have. I think, see what Daz said there about respect, being his own man. I think that has been critical this season for him coming in, and just by himself. Now, if you look down the line of Celtic managers, just recent ones, you look at guys like Brendan Rodgers, held high standards, commanded respect, got success. Even my old manager, Gordon Strachan, the same. Martin O'Neill. But Ange Postecoglou is all that, but he's did it a different way. You know, he didn't have the big transfer kitty that Martin O'Neill had.
I mean, he spent a lot of money, but
had to, obviously,
because of you know, what left the club.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of those you would say were gambles. Back in the Martin O'Neill days, when you're spending £6 million in people for the English Premiership at that time, you're more guaranteed. Ange Postecoglou has spent a considerable amount on players from the different parts of the world who he knew would make a difference. Wasn't it a gamble? He knew, and he always stood by it. And I think that's the most interesting thing, that he came with his presence, but a style of play that we hadn't really seen in this country. And I don't think the Celtic players would have seen it very much either. Even the coaching team, I don't think, would have been used to it. But he had to get all that across in a very short space of time. And I always look back to July. See, when you think about it, I was on holiday watching Celtic in Europe against Michelin when they drew 1-1, and Abada comes on and he scores. And you think, this is a mess. And sandwiched in between those two games was a home defeat against West Ham, remember, 6-2 or something, and you're going, whoa, what are we watching here? And then a couple of weeks later, they lose a few games, and you think, this is an absolute disaster. This is going to take this guy until next summer before you see any progress in this full squad. And to change that within 2 months, 2 months' time, I'd changed my mind. I'd said on here that you can see things were changing, and the wheels were going, and the players were buying into it, and they were getting results through it. But to then sustain it, and the run that Hugh keeps going on about, is just remarkable how he's got them there. And the players, I think the players last year who were there last year are better players, and I think the players he's brought in are going to be better players after pre-season once they've got a full summer under them. So everything's looking positive. And the big thing is Champions League football. Start of this season, we weren't in no Rangers would get to the Europa League final, but the big carrot was Champions League football because of the money that was there. The team was straight in. For a manager to do it first time off is
none of us predicted, as Fraser quite rightly said, that Celtic would win the league. Certainly none of us predicted that Celtic would win a double gone. They've got the League Cup and the trophy cabinet as well. It's been remarkable, the turnover, as Mark quite rightly said.
I think you go back to individuals again. Kyogo won the cup final on his own. Kyogo has been a sensation at Celtic Park. And he's missed 4 months of the season. Maeda has come from Japan as well and has more than contributed. Carter Vickers, Jota, Abada, they've all hit the ground for Celtic. And none of us could have foreseen how it would have unfolded, because halfway through the season, none of us had ever heard of some of them.
And of course, the beauty of it, Roger, after the week we've had, and it looks like it might be, it could be, two teams in the group stages of the Champions League next season, because Rangers are in a Europa League final, and we're in the strangest of times. It keeps coming up, but it's true. There are not many seasons where you get to mid-May and both Celtic and Rangers fans are happy, but that's the reality at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the last happened in 2003 when Celtic were heading to Seville for a UEFA Cup final and Rangers were winning a treble. I wonder if Celtic could be officially champions as early as tomorrow, because the title is gone for Rangers. All that matters for Rangers is Eintracht Frankfurt, May 18 in Seville. And I think Giovanni van Bronckhorst will start rotating the squad. I think he'll start resting large numbers of players. He's got three games: Dundee United, Ross County and Hearts at Tynecastle prior to that Europa League final. And I think it's now time for the Leon Kings and the Alec Lowrys of this world, the John McLaughlins, people like that, and keep the mainstays wrapped in cotton wool for Seville, because as you say, this could be historic in terms of Scottish football, and to have two teams back in the group stages of the Champions League with all the finance, with all the kudos, with all the excitement, it would be wonderful for our game.
What did you make of that achievement on Thursday night, Fraser Wishart? We've spent so many Saturdays on this show where we take a look back, you know, on the Thursday night, and there's been some good results over the last few seasons, but this is just incredible, isn't it?
And it's also, I think, in the style that they've done it, Gordon, as well. I was lucky enough to do the co-commentaries with Archie McPherson for Scotsport in 2008 when Rangers made it all this way as well. And sometimes it was a tough watch. You know, it was very defensive, pragmatic football, a lot of nil-nils. This time, it's been unbelievable, the football, the excitement they've given everybody as well, just watching the games. You're sitting at home with a beer, just out at the edge of your seat, just jumping up and down and just watching the football that's been played. It's been fantastic. And I've thoroughly enjoyed watching Rangers this year in the Europa League, and there's no reason why they can't go and win it. And I think Eintracht Frankfurt are a bit like Rangers, where their league form's been a wee bit patchy, but their European form's been fantastic. But they've beaten better German teams in Leipzig and Dortmund already, so Rangers must go into this certainly equals, if not just slight favourites. But what an achievement, and it was a brilliant night for Rangers and Rangers supporters. I was involved in all the nonsense that went on around administration, liquidation 10 years ago just now, and 10 years later they're in the Europa League final. So I think the Rangers fans, you can certainly see how emotional they were, more emotional than usual given what they've been through over the last 10 years. It was a great night.
Yeah, I mean, you in particular, Fraser, because of your role at PFA Scotland, will be acutely aware of, you know, how much money is in our game perhaps versus the amount of money that's in other parts of the world, and where we stand in the grand scheme of things, the food chain of European football. So to reach that final now, at this time, it must just, that makes it even more impressive, doesn't it?
It does, and some of the teams that Rangers have beaten, you know, have got far bigger budgets. I think at the start of the season they were being criticised, as were Celtic, and rightly, because if you're just looking at budgets, like some Malmo and Midtjylland and these teams as well, who beat our clubs, you know, are not in the same category. But Dortmund, Leipzig, these kind of clubs, you know, huge money over in Germany, and I just think the Rangers, I don't know how they do it, but they just find an extra gear when it's in Europe. And I'm sure the atmosphere, I'm sure the crowd and the noise and the fans getting behind them has a huge impact on the Rangers players as well. And James Tavernier, I mean, saves his best. And for a right back to get so many goals, I know people say there's some penalties in there, but all the strikers take the penalties and they take that glory as well. But he gets himself into some positions, and I think him, Goldson, Bassey, Lundstrom the other night just pushed and pushed and pushed. Defended brilliantly when he had to, and they were under pressure at one point. But to get through against a team of Leipzig calibre, third in the Bundesliga, the money they've got, fantastic achievement, and a big night ahead for the Rangers fans in Seville. And I think Roger's right. I think they'll start to rotate his squad to keep his key players fresh, the ones I mentioned already, you know, that plus the likes of, if you can get Kemar Roofe, get Kent wrapped up in cotton wool as well, Ryan Jack, I think, is a great influence on the team as well. So get the five or six key players wrapped up for the next week or two and prepare for a huge night in a couple of weeks.
A huge night, that just about covers it. It's going to be an incredible build up as well. Really looking forward to sharing it with you lot on this show. In the meantime, we're going to go back around the grounds, and Celtic fans, your title winning manager Ange Postecoglou, he's almost there, he's almost over the line, and you can hear from him right here next.
Scottish football's league leader, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are in the studio. The top team are all around the grounds, building up to the 3 o'clock games and reflecting on the game that's already finished, which has seen Celtic beat Hearts by 4-1 and essentially become champions of the Scottish Premiership. Lots of it is about the man in charge, Ange Postecoglou. Let's hear from him.
Very proud of the group, you know. It was we obviously conceded early, which hasn't happened too often during this run, and you kind of think about how the playing group will respond to that, but they're outstanding again. Didn't miss a beat. Stayed on course in terms of playing our football, and you know, after that I thought we were outstanding. Scored 4 good goals, and then Craig Gordon was outstanding again. But just super proud of the group. The thing is that, you know, under different circumstances, different scenario, we knew today was obviously significant.
And, you know, you could sense that there was a nervousness, you know, even around the stadium. So all those factors, it's how people deal with it. But as I said, I never had any doubts. I mean, it didn't worry me, but I'm sure people were looking to see how we respond. And again, like I said, this group has found a way to respond, but not veering away from, like I said, from the basic values and fundamentals we have as a football team.
How's the dressing room in there, and how much are you looking forward to Wednesday now?
Yeah, they're great. Again, I'm sure they're proud of them, you know, their own performances as well and how they've dealt with it. And we're looking forward to Wednesday. You know, I said to the boys before the game that, you know, there are many ways you can finish something off. You know, go through that finishing tape and you can collapse through it, or you can go through it at top speed. And you know, that's what we want to do. That's what we've been doing all year. And you know, we want to go hard on Wednesday and then get back up here and go hard again in the last game. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the journey, you know. It's not always just about the destination. And I thought it was a top performance from the boys today. And you know, for us, that's the greatest reward you can get, to see the joy that it brings other people, whether that's, you know, your own family or people who love you, or just the supporters who love this football club. Something we've contributed to gives so much joy to so many.
In the eyes of the Celtic fans, every single one of them, Hugh, and even as unthinkable as this is, some rival fans as well, they feel like he always says the right thing.
Yeah, there's a mutual respect between Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and Ange Postecoglou, and it is built on the fact that they do say the right thing. Ange Postecoglou is infinitely more colourful in his use of language than Van Bronckhorst, but they have brought a real proper professional respect to the city of Glasgow in the way that they handle these teams. And Ange Postecoglou always has the phrase to fit the occasion. You can either approach the finishing tape by collapsing through it or going through it at speed, he said. Celtic, by their four goals, the biggest margin of victory over Hearts this season, decided to go through the tape at speed. And now, again, he says the right things when he speaks about the greatest reward being the smile that you put on other people's faces. The Celtic supporters didn't get into Celtic Park last season because of COVID, just as well, because it was a horrible season. But they did get back in when Ange Postecoglou was there, just as well, because this man is now a Celtic folk hero.
David Friel, it doesn't sound like he's as quite as ready to admit that it's over as everyone else, and that's perhaps understandable. You know, it's easier on the outside, but he's still kind of keeping a lid on it, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that just comes down to being respectful, Gordon. You can be guaranteed behind the scenes that Celtic know it's over, but I think it's probably quite hard for a manager to come out and say, that's it, congratulations, let's enjoy this. So I think behind the four walls of that dressing room, you know, Celtic players will be celebrating to a point, but I think, as he said, and as you just said there, you know, he wants to go over the line in style. And you know, I think Celtic, you know, until they get over that line, they get it, and it is mathematically impossible to be caught, I think they'll just, you know, just keep the champagne on ice just for a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's the impression you're getting. Roger, he seems very set in his ways when it comes to everything from playing style to the messaging and the tone that he's trying to put across at the moment.
Yeah, and I also get the impression that once it is done, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's midweek, whether it's next weekend, he will already be looking towards next season. He will be looking towards those Champions League groups, and he'll be looking towards the type of player that he feels Celtic needs to bring in, not just to compete, but to try and prosper in those Champions League groups, because, you know, he will have seen the impact a European run has had on Rangers this season, and he will want to establish Celtic not just as champions of Scotland, he'll want to establish their reputation again on the continent. And to do that, you know, yes, as David said, he's brought in a dozen or 15 players. He will want more this summer. That's why Mark Lawwell is in the building, to work with him. And he will already, I think, be looking not to rest in his laurels, not to wallow in this great title victory. He'll be looking to kick on again, Gordon, for next season and beyond.
Yeah, Celtic fans, we will hear more from Ange Postecoglou as the afternoon progresses. And don't forget, at 5 o'clock, you can have your say on the open line. Don't celebrate too hard. We want to still speak to you and have a sensible conversation come 5 o'clock. So get ready to pick up the phone when we give you the nod. We do have big 3 o'clock games though, so let's go back around the grounds. We'll start furthest north, Ross County Motherwell. It's a big game in the hunt for Europe. Let's get a recap of the teams with Dave Galloway.
Yeah, just looking at the team's changes for both sides. Ross County go with Laidlaw in goals, then a back four of Randall, Baldwin, Iacoviti and Vokins. Tilson and Kankola sitting in front of that back four. Further forward, it's Spittle, Callaghan and Charles Cook with White up top. The subs, Munro, Dominic Samuel, Sims, Watson, Burrows, Drysdale, Hungbo, Ben Payton and Wright. There were three changes for Motherwell, as I told you earlier. So they start with Kelly, then a back three of O'Donnell, Lamy and Ojala. Midfield, O'Hara, Goss, Donnelly and Carroll, with Tierney in behind Efford and Shields in attack. The subs, Connolly, Slattery, Van Veen, Cornelius, Shaw, Campbell and Mann. And your match referee in Dingwall is David Munro.
Huge game in Dingwall. The guys have given it the nod. We're going to watch that one in the studio. But just along the road at the Smyza Stadium, it's been a bit of a quieter week for Mark McGee, Roger Hanna. There's no talk of clothes coming off or diets or heating being turned down or whatever. It's a bit more serious, if you like, and a huge game for them. They really need to try and win to stay in the division.
Yeah, it is very serious. I saw him doing his pre-match interviews down pitch side 20 minutes or so ago, Gordon, and there's not a lot of smiles about. He's done deep players, they're doing their warm-ups just now. In fact, they're just turning to come off. Charlie Adam leading them off to preview, you know, final preparations for this game. It's huge. They know the significance of it. They know if St Johnson win along at Livingston this afternoon that time is just about up for them in the Premiership. So it's a very attacking lineup today. I think they're going to go from the first whistle to try and win the game. You actually just nearly caught me out there. I was just about dancing in the aisle, Gordon. You'll know this young chap who's making his name in the music scene, a guy called Ewan McVicker, who is what he specialises in, what Hugh Keevers would call the boom boom music. And he's had a huge hit called Tell Me Something Good, and he was tweeting yesterday to St Mirren that it's been played everywhere from Hampden to the Bernabeu in every stadium in the English Premier League, but never by his beloved St Mirren. He's a St Mirren supporter despite now living down south. They've just played Tell Me Something Good, and I think the reaction it got from the St Mirren fans, I think they'll be playing it before every home game here, because it's got them up for it. St Mirren think they're staying up. They only need one point to be mathematically sure of staying up, and I think they will make it really awkward for Mark McGee this afternoon. You just get the feeling this might not quite be Dundee's day.
You know him as well, Gordon DL, don't you?
Signed him, I had him air, yeah. I says to him, listen son, football's no your game. Get any of that DJing.
He's got you to thank.
Yes, yes, yeah, and he still does to this day.
It sounds like it's gone down well in Paisley. Anyway, what about the Tony Macaroni, David Friel, Livy, St Johnston? Callum Davidson very unhappy with the St Johnston performance last week. Didn't look like a team that was fighting for their lives. He'll be hoping for better today.
He'll be hoping for a lot better, Gordon. You can just sense a contrast in the moods between these two clubs and two teams, because St Johnston very focused, obviously a rocket last week from their own manager after a pretty dismal performance against St Mirren. They're very focused in the warm-up, everything's very serious. Whereas Livy, the shackles are off, they're playing a lot of freedom, they've won the last two games, and Davey Martindale, the manager, has basically spent the last 10-15 minutes just wandering about the main stand here, talking to some fans, talking to some reporters, just having a laugh with people. So, you know, it's very serious for St Johnston. I think Livy, I think they'd be pretty confident about hopefully finishing seventh now, and, you know, I think they'll play with freedom today. I wonder about St Johnston. As I said earlier, I think their hopes of avoiding that playoff are pretty much doomed, and they just can't really slip up here again, because if Dundee do the unthinkable and win at St Mirren, then it's going to be a very, very nervy last couple of games for St Johnston.
Well, it's been a remarkable week for Marvin Bartley. He even turned up on time to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Wednesday night, so he's just flying ahead of this game, Livy, against St Johnston. And Fraser, for Hibs Aberdeen, is it about seeing the back of this terrible season and trying to go again in the summer? It's gone a little bit quiet on the Hibs managerial search. You never know. You look around you, is there anyone there that could be throwing their hat into the ring?
Yeah, I'm going to keep a good lookout on the sort of director's box area. I know Derek McInnes was linked, I think it was Rogers' paper today, with the job, and he would make perfect sense. They need a bit of stability after this traumatic 6 months sacking two managers, both of them too early in my opinion, but the board have now put themselves in a position they need a bit of stability. Derek McInnes would bring that, and I heard he was actually right in the frame for the job when Sean Maloney was appointed, so that's a possibility. But really, I think you're right, you said it there, both sets of fans will be just looking forward to the end of the season and hopeful that there was a lot of good signings in the summer, because there might be complete overhauls of the squads. Jim Gooden's already started his, like Scott Brown and the Jet, the people that have moved on, but you have to wait till Lindsay to sign them. And I think it's always a barometer of how Aberdeen are doing, is how many people they bring with their travelling support, because their fans travel every second week. You know, in the West we complain about going up to Aberdeen when there's a game up there. They travel and they're brilliant. But to my right, probably just more than half of the lower part of the stand will be filled with Aberdeen fans. And if this game has some kind of meaning, they'd fill the whole end. So I think that's a barometer as to what their fans think. So yes, a season to forget for both clubs. But hopefully, as I said earlier, we need them up there. We need them both up there, taking points off the Old Firm, challenging Hearts, having good teams on board, because when Pittodrie's full and Easter Road's full, they're brilliant places to play and watch football. But seasons to forget, draw a line under it and try and move on in the summertime.
Well, you never know, football works in strange ways. Maybe Fraser gets a 5-5 thriller and has the afternoon of the season. We'll find out in due course, because we're set up for a fantastic afternoon in the 3 o'clock games: Hibs Aberdeen, Livy St Johnstone, Ross County Motherwell, St Mirren Dundee. There's more to come as we reflect on what was essentially a title winning performance and result for Celtic at home to Hearts. And in case you hadn't heard, the Rangers fans are searching for flights, buses, trains, helicopters, boats, bikes and walking routes to Seville. So I'm sure we'll get through all of that this afternoon. The 3 o'clock games are next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's a huge afternoon of football across the Scottish Premiership. So go on then, give us your flawless acca for the afternoon, Hugh.
I don't care how many forward going players Mark McGee has chosen. St Mirren will beat Dundee, Ross County will beat Motherwell, Livy will beat St Johnstone, and at Easter Road it is a draw.
Almost identical. I'm going to go for 4 home wins. So the only thing that's different between me and Hugh is Hibs will be Aberdeen.
Here's my surprise of the day: Mark McGee's Dundee will get their first win, Ross County will beat Motherwell, unfortunately, Livingston will draw with St Johnstone, and Aberdeen will beat Hibs.
Goal flashes with Aspire Industrial Services, leading the way in industrial and corporate branded workwear.
And just like that, we are underway. Not many Saturday afternoons left of this season. Let's see what this one has in store. The sun is shining in Dingwall. A bit of a delay to kick off the Motherwell fans, who've travelled in terrific numbers for a team that doesn't win many football matches, yeah. Hugh. And they've got a bit excited with the old pyrotechnics, but we are eventually underway.
Well, it's a big afternoon for those Motherwell fans, and their support, I'm sure, is much appreciated by Graham Alexander and the players. I just think that Ross County have what it takes. I'm also fascinated by the thought of European football in Dingwall. You know, there are more people at my wedding than live in Dingwall. So fascinating. I think Malky Mackay, who should be in the frame for the Hibs job, along with Derek McInnes, I think Malky Mackay has got it to take all 3 points.
The old pyrotechnics are fairly coming into football more this season. Mm. They're not. I can't remember a season. I know they've been slowly creeping in over the.
No, the last few seasons.
But this year,
you're just getting older.
No, this year more than most. Guaranteed you. I'm seeing people now at their back gardens with smoke bombs and things celebrating wins, and it's just creeping into the crowds. I mean, last week in the, I know it's not our league, but in the
Charleston,
was incredible. If you can't be chucking it back into the crowd.
If Motherwell win the day, we can see the state of my flat tonight with them. I'll need all the windies on.
Callum Hendry, by the way, blasted over the bar for St Johnstone after 20 seconds.
Oof. When we're hearing of David Martindale going around saying hello to people, you begin to wonder, have they gone on holiday? But I can't imagine Marvin Bartley allowing anyone to relax on match day.
Well, it's nothing to play for when you're sitting there in seventh place, no danger.
Pride.
Just thinking, get this over and done with, get on holiday.
Pride and bonus money is all important.
Do you know what though? For Livy, above anyone else in the league, the budget they work with you know, an extra place is worth what? Is it a couple hundred grand, hundred odd? You know, that's yeah, a couple of players for Livingston for
100%.
Next season. So it's easy from us from the outside, but you'd rather have that money and if also, you can. And they're, you know, they're 3 points above Hibs, so they'll want to stay that way.
Sorry, Gordon. And also on top of that, players are out of contract as well. You know, players are wanting to move on. They want to impress. There's always something to play. I always went into a game of football with a mindset there's something to play for here.
Sure you
did. Oh, the nonsense eyes.
Before he lets his imagination run away with him again, let's do this.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
A transatlantic teaser. Can you name the last 8 players to play in the MLS who also have at least one Scotland cap at any point in their career? Can you name the last 8 players to play in the MLS who also have at least one Scotland cap at any point in their career?
Good question. I like it. At Clyde SSB. Oh, we've got a very, very big goal in the Premiership. Let's find out who it's gone to.
Goal flashes.
And it's 1-0 to St Mirren against Dundee. It was Grieve with a tap-in after Charlie Adam played the ball across his own goal. Charlie Adam, the club captain, he's back up there trying to rescue Dundee this season, and it might just have been his mistake which has led to the goal, which could seal their fate.
Well, what about the questions and the reaction from Mark McGee last week about Charlie Adam? This week he chose again to start him, and he's cost his team early on. So, not an ideal way to start. How's that prediction looking now, Daz?
I've had a real bad afternoon with prediction.
Roger Hanna is telling us this is the worst blunder of the season. It's worse than his dive a few weeks ago. Producer Callum, quick, if you get a clip of it, put it on your Twitter. You'll go viral again. Gary Lineker will tweet you, and you'll spend the next week thinking that you're too good for us.
Gary Lineker tweet Callum?
Aye, oh, millions of people.
Do you hear this?
No, millions. That's a feather in the... I like that,
yeah,
guy.
Last time when Charlie Adam dived, he put the video,
yes,
up on Twitter.
Yes, I know
Twitter.
That.
It's big news, Callum.
Nearly
big news.
3 million views.
Wow, I'm impressed with that. And Gary Lineker was one.
Yeah, he quote tweeted it, which is big in the business. Not that you know that. Oh, forget it.
Will he tweet that his team got put out of the cup the day?
No. Producer Callum.
No, he's not,
no,
having,
he's not having that.
We were all geared up to go to the
final.
No, we were going to the final.
Geared up.
Never mind Seville. We were looking for transport to, where was it? Again, Mary Hill or something like
Castle
that.
Castle Milk.
Red Trees or whatever he's named. What is his name again?
It doesn't matter. Seriously, we're not giving this mob any more credit than they deserve. Do you know what? See, speaking of, for, you know, forget Seville and transport and travel and all the rest of it, it's got me thinking. Producer Callum, maybe you can stick this on Twitter for us and the people that are listening. A couple of days on from that night at Ibrox, let's try and find out what is the most outrageous route that Rangers fans have got planned to get to Seville. Give me your early travel stories. See if you tell me you're flying into Malaga or something. That's dull. Don't even waste my time. I want somebody who's flying to Dublin, waiting for 6 hours, getting a boat somewhere else, on the bike for a couple of days, camper van. Let's hear the lot, because I know you will have some weird and wonderful routes out there. So send me a tweet, either at Clyde SSB or at GordonDuncan7, and tell me your weird and wonderful routes that you've already planned to get to Seville. I would love to hear them. There'll be some out there.
Oh, there'll be a number out there, because as soon as that final whistle went, the price and the availability of flights just went, you know, skyrocketing. So people will have to take, you know, alternative routes. Fly to Africa and then...
That's a good idea. You can do that.
Fly to Africa, get the boat across.
That's a great idea, yeah.
That'd be my route.
You can get a cheap flight from Cardiff to Portugal and you could go across the border.
There we go. I'd drive to Cardiff.
That's
to do that regular.
Easy. We need something.
Too easy. Well, this is Glasgow and we're talking Cardiff. About flying from Cardiff.
2 minutes down the road.
Is it?
Right. 2 minutes.
Over to Portugal, you're 2 hours in a car.
This madness was always there, you know. There was a great story when Celtic won the European Cup in Lisbon and they're all, I mean, they'd gone over there as the Rangers fans will by any means possible. But there was the guy walking from the Estadio Nacional at the end of the game, Celtic scarf on, and the car comes up beside him. Where are you going, mate? What a lift. He says, where are you going? He said, we're driving to Edinburgh. Nah, I live in Glasgow.
That's, it's got to be an urban myth, is it?
No, apparently not. Where are you going, like Edinburgh? Yeah. Oh, nah, I live in Glasgow.
That's a good show. I like that. Right, come on then, at Clyde SSB or at Gordon Duncan 7. Tell me your travel plans for Seville, please. I know lots of you will have them. Some of you even booked them weeks ago, which means you'll have the boring ones. You'll have the nice, easy, direct flights. But if you've booked them since Thursday night and this afternoon, I suspect you've had to pull some strings. It's all Ross County early on in Dingwall, isn't it?
Oh. Yeah, they've started very well. I've got to say Motherwell under a little bit of pressure, given cheap corners away, a shot there from 20 yards. Kelly, to be fair, I think he's in control of that, but you don't want that to keep going this afternoon.
Had it covered. I tell you what, the way you travel, get a few of your mates together and get a big camper van, RV, hit the road, you know, a week early.
Seriously?
Oh, take your time down. Oh, that'd be bad. No,
you don't like travelling anywhere. Anything above half an hour, you hate it.
I like travelling, but I like to keep it short and neat,
well, that's
tidy. No, in a camper van away doing roadworks and all that. Oh no,
roadworks! Yeah. An adventure.
Oh, all part of the experience.
I mean, he was telling me last week, Gordon, how he hates holidays because he just, as soon as he gets in the aeroplane, he sits and thinks, "I'd rather be at home." I mean,
you are a truly strange individual.
No, I look, that's a myth.
That's not a myth. You told me that.
I only like a holiday if I'm golfing. That's it. I don't sightsee. There's nothing out there excites me. Unfortunately, all these great. There's nothing there that floats my boat.
Nothing at all.
Nothing. You could mention anywhere in the world anything. I will tell you, I'm not interested in going seeing it.
What a simple, I believe it as well.
I mean, the greatest wonders of the world.
Right. Remember, he went to Toronto, didn't you? But he didn't go to Niagara Falls.
Oh no, I couldn't be bored with that. Right, a water going over a cliff. Forget that. But I went to Pompeii and I lasted about 5 minutes. Right, Frankie Howard wasn't there. You'll know who that is. And decided, but I am not a sightseer. I don't like all that nonsense. He walks about parts looking at birds. You know, up in trees and all. A red forest.
I like a bit of culture. I like a bit of history.
I like a game of golf. And I'll tell you another thing, the boys will tell you, anybody that tells me he goes to a beach, lies in one of these sun loungers, gets up every 5 minutes, has a look about, back down, that ain't a holiday, mate.
I thought that'd be right up your street, to be honest.
He looks around every 2 minutes.
Set of binoculars.
It's a strong start on Twitter. It's a strong start. Scott McDougall, Prestwick. Okay, that's a comfortable start.
That's bad as starting for Prestwick. That's a bad start.
To Tenerife.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
To Lisbon.
Oh.
To Seville.
What?
I don't know.
To Tenerife.
He's just added an extra wee one in there.
Well, surely he's getting a few nights in Tenerife. It's not just a quick turnover. Make that a holiday.
Yeah, you have to give me. I want absolute details. I want flight time, layover duration, mode of transport, price. I'm nosy. I want everything. Beef has sent me a message and says my pal booked this, not realising the game. The game would be an hour in by the time he arrived.
Oh no.
And he sent me the booking confirmation. That is sensational. He's flying out from Glasgow, right? He's stopping twice. It's taken 24 hours, but he doesn't arrive in Seville till 9:25. That is unbelievable.
Oh, that's poor. You need to tell your pals to keep you a seat.
This is where my geeky airport knowledge needs to be better, because you know the three letter codes.
Oh, what is it?
I can't figure it. What's PMI? Is that Palma?
Palma.
Yeah, so there we go. She's going Luton, Palma, Glasgow to Luton, to Palma, to Seville, but an hour after the game kicks off.
Oh,
that's my favourite so far. That's going to take some beating.
The big problem about some of them is they'll get there, but they've no bookings to get back. Yeah, I've been speaking to people and going, yeah, I booked a flight. Well, where do you fly back from? Oh no, I've not arranged that yet. Huh? That would freak me out.
I would love if you went and got stranded in Seville.
No.
Imagine that. You're just walking about Seville.
Yeah, I once got lost in Spain. I must admit, that was a terrifying couple of days.
What do you mean? You got lost in
Spaghetti. I couldn't remember where my digs were.
Do you know what? This guy just speaks and he gets himself in all sorts of trouble. Ewan McVicar, remember him? We were talking about the song.
Yeah, something new.
Exactly, good, not something new. All right. They've just contacted Roger from Holiday in Dubai, which is famously in
United States of Aberdeen.
Absolutely. To say that Gordon DL did not sign Ewan for air. In fact, he never even played.
Whose tags are
that? His family.
Did he come in? United by his family.
Where did you get that from?
He did, he was in air.
No, genuinely, his family have got in touch to say was... he never even played.
Oh, he never played.
I you're going to about telling everyone with, that he played
no,
for
no,
air.
He played with reserves, I'm sure.
No, genuinely, his family have been.
His family are wrong. Can't look at Wikipedia.
You've been outed again, once again. Oh, the list. I can't believe.
Hold on a minute, then. Why does Ewan McVicar speak about me now? There you go. And producer Callum will tell you. Is that right, Hugh?
He mentioned you on the Callum Gallagher show.
Thank you very much.
It may have been his brother Neil, apparently, according to Roger.
Oh, the McVicar's just
the
you've
got
same.
The fake one. You've got the one that's not so
you
good.
You see one McVicar, you see them all. Oh, was it Neil that played then?
So you're starting to dine out in the stories that you've
you
coached
know you
an international star.
Brother.
You know me, Neil.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'm sure I know this guy. I think he's been about
There's
my
only
company.
One way to find it. We'll need to get him on the phone.
He's been about
him.
My company. See big wind strand down the hair there.
Roger Hannah.
Yeah.
See whilst everyone out there gives me their great stories of their roots to Seville. Do you know who I would? Do you know what I would do if I was going to try and get there, Mark? Because you have left it late. You're going to have to try and pull something out of the bag. I would get the creepy chauffeur to drive me to Seville.
Yeah, that's you.
And if you're wondering what that is all about, Hugh Keevans, I received the weirdest message ever relating to this show the other night. It was really late at night and it kept me awake thinking about it. But I can't wait to tomorrow to get to the bottom of this. A guy called Ryan Kane, and we said this on Thursday, he sent me a message on Instagram saying he's listening to an audiobook. It's the third in a series of horror novels, and it's set in a creepy castle in Ayr. He says, I won't get much into it more than that. It's a spooky book, creepy characters, etc. Now imagine my sense of disbelief every time the creepy, bumbling Scottish chauffeur is mentioned. Now, at this point, I'm just going to say no more. I'm just going to play you the clip from the audiobook, because like all good books these days, it's available in audio format, which is great for us. And I'm going to just play you the clip from this apparently well-known horror novel, okay?
Scotland's always been a different country to me. Ah, so we see eye to eye, sir. He was still smiling genially. Or eye to eye. Sorry, weak joke. Ash had attempted a Scottish accent, but it was pretty lame. Indeed it was, sir, but not totally without humour. My name's Gordon DL, by the way. Ash found himself warming to the man, despite, or maybe because of, the teasing banter.
We don't know how, we don't know why,
yeah.
But it is there. Well, it's in black and white and you can hear it. There is a creepy Scottish chauffeur in a horror novel out there that is named Gordon DL.
Well, I have to imagine that the author of this book has listened to Super Scoreboard and
no,
has...
that's the thing. No, it's a famous English author called James Herbert, who's sadly no longer with us.
It was set in Ayr, was it an Ayr castle?
Something like that.
He must have been kicking about Ayr, looking for inspiration. You know how writers somehow sometimes go away in some isolated place, and maybe he's
looking
took a trip in.
Muse.
Trip in to Ayr Town Centre and seen
the creepy chauffeur.
Seen the creepy
big
nose
Ayr
manager.
I can get back to you. In the window. What's your name? Gordon Dale.
That's brilliant.
I can't believe that.
That's great.
Well, I just like hearing
Indeed
it.
Indeed, it was, sir, but not totally without humour. My name's Gordon DL, by the way.
Someone pointed out to me that the audiobook sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire, and it really
it does.
I never can't forget about it. So, will we ever get to the bottom of that as to whether.
I'll never get to the bottom of that. I'm
someone
did Royals.
Call, no, someone called in the other night, which surprised me even more, and said that it's not named after you. It's a complete coincidence. I just find that so tough to believe.
No way.
That's you're not making up a name like that. And there's the air connection.
And you're creepy.
Yeah.
Well, that's
I play the character.
Let's forget about that part of it, if you don't mind. Yeah, I don't know.
Strange, but magnificent.
Look, are there a lot of people out there using my name? So we just need to move on from it. What do you think, Hugh? You happy with that?
Oh yeah, very happy. If I was mentioned in an audio book, I'd dine out on that one.
Yeah, I bought a few copies to impress a few people.
I think I'm going to regret asking this. This could be the most popular question ever. I'm going to have to sift through all these answers about how fans are getting to Seville. Stephen Holmes Gordon: I've got two camper vans. My mate and his pals are taking one to Glasgow, to Dover, ferry to Cali down through France, all the way to Spain, to Seville. 27 hours, and there are a couple of spaces in the van.
Oh, there you go.
Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL.
Well, Mark's been shouting there about, well, obviously Mark will not go, but he would love that journey. That's
I could put you in touch with Stephen and his mates. You'll if like you fancy that. It.
Shared toilet accommodation on board.
That's exactly right away with me. See,
I knew that's what you were thinking right away.
I could not be involved in that. Sorry, boys, I'll have to miss that one.
I think that's the way to do it. 27 hours, did you say? That's not that bad.
The mistakes I'm loving as well. Scott James says, I got off to a flyer, but not sure how I'm getting home. I've booked a flight for July 2023.
Oh, no.
I can't find my way back. I'll just need to make it an extended holiday. David's got it all figured out. Four of us, 6 a.m. train to Manchester, £34 return. Flight to Almeria, £70 return. Airbnb in Almeria, 15 quid each. Car hire, 25 each plus fuel. That's the most cost efficient way I've heard by far. That's cheap. That guy's got himself a bargain.
Yep.
Has he got a ticket?
Is he a travel agent, David? That's magnificent.
What you'd be doing, you'd be trying to sell that off now. If you'd purchased that way of travel, you'd be auctioning it.
Sure.
£3,000 ahead. Yours.
We missed a trick. We should have booked some flights. And then just put them out there to the highest bidder.
Where's the final next year? Let's get ahead of the game here. One of our clubs has got to get there next year.
I'll not be Motherwell the way things are going.
Ooh, well, it was a good ball in from Stephen O'Donnell that was cleared away. Motherwell starting to come into it a bit more after a ropey start. Ross County 0, Motherwell 0. It's goalless Hibs Aberdeen and Livy St Johnstone, but significantly St Mirren Dundee. It's St Mirren 1, Dundee 0. Alex Grieve with the goal after a Charlie Adam mistake, and it looks like Dundee could be heading down. Hugh Keevans,
this is the 12th game in charge for Mark McGee. No wins, and it's been a catalogue of disaster, really. And Charlie Adam involved in the substitution fiasco last weekend, which saw Mark McGee threaten to walk out of the press room if anybody asked him another question about it. So he's gone from one disaster to another, and Charlie Adam again involved the bad pass across the face of his goal. Alec Grieve nicked
I've just seen it.
That bad, is it?
Charlie Adam's running towards his own corner flag. He Cruyff turns to come back the way and literally crosses the ball with his right foot for Alex Grieve to tap it in.
Oh,
like you would think he's got the wrong goal
going away. So it's a good assist, that's what you're trying to tell us.
Yeah. I'm speechless because he puts a bit of loft on it though. You know, it's not like he's trying to roll it back to the key. It's a cross.
So who's he trying to hit? Is there a player behind Grieve?
I don't think so. You can take it in turns at coming round and having a look at it if you want.
Let's have a look.
Oh, it's going silent.
Well, it'll be interesting conversation between Charlie and Mark McGee at half time.
It's sensational.
That's as bad as you'll see. I don't know what he's thinking of there. I really don't. I thought you meant, Gordon, it might be about the 18-yard line or something like that. That's across the 6-yard line, almost on the byline. That's a strange one, that. So not a good week for Charlie. Subbed off last week. Mark McGee reacted, then starts today. He's going to be a big influence, and he does that.
That's
very odd.
We've got the right man at the game. Roger Hanna will be down there full time, microphone under Mark McGee's nose, and we might get some memorable audio.
The thing is with Mark McGee, I mean, when he got appointed, we stood in here and questioned it and thought that was odd. But I think so did the rest of Scotland. I think it was odd, and you know, everybody kind of foreseen this coming.
Yeah,
that's the strange thing about it. Nothing's really been different from anything anybody predicted.
Dundee
are
a club that might need some serious sorting out. They'll drop down to the Championship, but there'll be teams in the Championship better than them, I think. And for the life of me, I can't see Mark McGee being in charge next season. So first of all, they're in the market for a manager, and then an overhaul of the players, and see where they go.
Yeah, so St Mirren 1 Dundee 0, that's the only goal in the Premiership at the moment. Celtic of course winning 4-1 earlier and wrapping up the title, or all but wrapping up the title. So on the open line, give us your thoughts on there. I'm loving these stories, right? Jamie Van Bassey has sent me one in. I think he says it's his mate's daughter. Anyway, a 4-day donkey trek, Glasgow to London by bus.
Oh.
London to Valencia, 7-hour wait. Valencia to Seville. On the way back, Seville to Lyon, 5-hour wait. Lyon to London, London to Glasgow by bus. Home at 6 p.m. Friday night, then the Scottish Cup final on the Saturday. Best of luck, he says.
Oh, well, I'm sure they'd rather be doing that than sitting in the house, you know, just with Rangers not in any finals. That just goes to show you the...
You don't have to make it all deep and serious.
Yeah.
Well, profound. I'll tell them to stop moaning.
Nothing on the telly. You may as well just jump that 6-hour bus journey to London and start it off. That'd be really exciting.
I mean, there must be Rangers supporters buses that will simply head off from Glasgow
and go the full way. Oh, yeah, for sure. When I went to Odense when Motherwell played away in Denmark,
that was a long one.
A couple, were you there? Were you? A couple of my mates got the bus all the way from like Bells Hill to Denmark.
I've went on holiday to Spain and got the bus when I was younger. You know the bus that used to leave at Buchanan bus station. First holiday abroad
to Spain,
straight to Spain, straight to Estherty.
Oh my goodness.
My first holiday abroad, I thought, my mum and dad, I think it must have been about 6 or something. There you go, we're going to Spain, brilliant. But we're going by bus. A double-decker bus.
A double-decker.
Double-decker. For some reason that's much worse.
Speed, it's 50 mile an hour.
I always remember it, yeah. A couple of days.
I like Mr. M, very specific with his starting location. He says, Wishy to Manchester, Manchester to Ibiza, Ibiza to Seville. I quite like that.
That's all right, that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm happy with that, Mr. M. Not bad at all.
We stop over night in Ibiza.
Well, you start off, Manchester's not too bad, is it? 3 hours down the road, maybe.
JB Farmers booked on Thursday night. Friday morning, my son and his pal Bradford to Seville with a 2-hour wait in Ibiza. 4 nights, £200 each. Not told them I've not got them digs yet. Looks like they're camping in Seville's campsite, he says.
Oh. And there'll be a lot of that, I think, as well. You were talking about people getting home, but a lot of people would have booked to travel, and there's only limited accommodation, you know, close by. There'll be a lot of people just winging it.
And do you know what I love? The opportunism of Colin Nicholson. He's replied and he just says, anyone chartering a bus, I'm a qualified bus driver. If you need a driver, DM me. He's hiring himself out
for a turn.
Good on him. Good on him.
That'd be the worst job. Imagine that.
Terrible.
It's bad enough travelling, but imagine driving the bus.
Terrible. Wouldn't even think about it.
You were just saying you've not used your bus pass yet. You were telling me that earlier on.
I need a journey. And it's certainly not going to be one of them.
My dad used his last week for the first
time. I'm excited
to
go on.
Oh, he was well happy with it.
Oh, here we are. This is what I was hoping to achieve. To find someone who's leaving the continent to come back again. And it's happened. Andy, Edinburgh to Turin.
Uh-huh.
Turin to Morocco.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
And Morocco to Seville. Then Seville to Mahon to Bologna to Edinburgh on the way back.
Oh, that's the longest one.
If he makes the cup final, I'll be astounded.
Yeah, there's got to be a cancellation or delay in there somewhere. That's the thing, the more flights you add on,
the bigger
the danger.
Man, and on the way back, it's a 12-hour stopover in Menorca. And then a 4-hour stopover in Bologna. Oh dear. It's a 14-hour stopover on the way between Turin and Morocco. I've lost track. That's grim.
When's he leaving tomorrow?
Yeah, I think he's away already, actually.
Is there any actual direct flights just to Seville?
Kenny Miller looked it up last night.
Where's it? Malaga the closest one, is it?
Seville has an airport, pounds. But I don't know if you can.
London to Seville, 500.
That was London, though. Yeah. Ah, right, okay. Ah, that's no fun. You need to go the tourist route, don't you?
Camper van sounds good now.
Airdrie nil, Montrose 1. Cammy Ballantyne with the goal, 26 minutes in the playoffs. They were already 1 down, Airdrie. That's 2 on aggregate.
That's 2-0 in the day, is it no? 2-0 Montrose.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I can't see past Gordon DLC. Gordon here. Yeah, it's 2-0. Not as he's here this time.
Yeah, thank you.
2-0 on the day, 3-0 on aggregate, all over for the Diamonds.
That's a shame.
See, it's not easy to get the Diamonds out the playoffs. No, easy. As you well know.
At least we got to penalty shootout and then was undone. You went to the game, didn't you? Both legs?
No.
Oh, that's right.
I supported you in the second leg.
No moral support, eh?
Was the first leg at home or away?
First leg was at home.
I went to that one, then I seen your tactical display and I thought, no point me travelling.
This guy's heading out.
Yeah, no point me travelling to Alloa.
Anyone got the teaser yet?
Hugh, I tell you what, we have got five. We got five really quickly and then we've hit the wall.
There is still one podium place remaining, so read the question, Hugh.
Can you name the last 8 players to play in the MLS who have also had at least one Scotland cap at any point in their career?
Okay, let's do wrong answers to try and help you along the road. I love this. Scots Abroad Pod, who many of you may be familiar with, like, dedicates themselves to following, well, Scots Abroad, so they should know the answer to this one. They're getting a few. Mikko's given it a really good go as well. So's Robbie. Ooh, tell you what, some really good answers coming in. Alan Lappin's gone Ryan Gold.
No.
No Scotland caps for him. Remember, that would be the key there. Marty Boyle's only got a couple. KPJR wants to throw in Barry Robson.
Throw him back out.
So he's not in the last 8. He also wants to throw in Chris Boyd.
No.
He's not in the last 8 either. And where are we? Yeah, most of you are making a really good go of it. There's a few saying the likes of Ryan Gold, which of course isn't correct, because he's not got any caps yet. But yeah, I'm happy with that. I am happy with the attempts. Kenny Miller is not one either, is it? Or pal?
Nope.
No, he's not in the last 8. So keep your guesses coming in at Clyde SSB.
That's why. That'll not be in the last 8. Yeah,
still
the last 8.
What's happening in Dingwall?
I thought Motherwell. Good answer. I thought Motherwell came into it a wee bit there, but Ross County now have actual chance, just as you come. Is Charles Cook just over the bar? It's actually a good game. It's nice and open, but goal mouth action lacking in. Actually, it was well worked for Ross County. Great little cutback. Charles Cook, the player he's been this year, you actually expect him to hit the target there and put Ross County one up.
Poor finish. Malky Mackay suited and booted. Even though it's a very warm day, collar and tie, very impressed.
I think the suits on the touchline here are getting outdated now.
Yeah, outdated.
Football's moved on for that. We're getting pyrotechnics in.
You've turned into a real old man overnight. I suppose you want to go more modern with the fashion sense.
Aye, get the suits out. I like Pep Guardiola's style.
Think you could pull that off?
Oh, aye. You can.
I could.
100% you can. You'd still be in the touchline with either a big baggy suit.
No.
Or the joggies tucked into the socks with a pair of copas on. That's you.
I was more a suit man. I was more dressed and.
But baggy?
No. Aye. Well, a baggy was in on those days.
Baggy's never been in.
Style changes all the time, Mark.
Baggy, scruffy tie, just in.
I don't like a tie up in my neck. I must. I don't.
What do you like?
I lay a tie off.
Really seemed at 1 a.m.
Yeah. Doing the wrist.
He gave us the disturbing visual image of the Dazzler's youth. He said he used to like wearing the Bay City Rollers style gear.
Oh, they were days gone by.
That Gudgeon does. Yeah,
disturbing. Very disturbing indeed.
That meant, I said Gudgeon because he's got an answer on the teaser now. The Bay City Rollers.
The creepy chauffeur, eh?
Creepy chauffeur.
Ooh, that's a blow for Maurice Ross and Cowdenbeath. He'll be most disappointed because Harvey Swan has been sent off after 32 minutes. What's the significance of that? You ask, well, it's the playoffs to get in or stay in the SPFL. Remember, it's Bonnie Rig Rose, the winners of the Lowland League, up against Cowdenbeath, and Cowdenbeath are down to 10 men.
It's always a fascinating fixture, that one, because, you know, you get the team who have languished about the bottom of the leagues.
Like Brechin.
Like Brechin, yep. And then you get the team who usually have invested a lot of money to try and get through the leagues. I don't think Bonnie Rig are like that, but
they'll struggle, Cowdenbeath, with that. Bonnie Rig, yeah. Good setup.
Good team, side, are they?
Pay good money. Yeah. It's always been a big club.
But they're not like Kelty, who had threw money at it for a couple of years.
Yeah, they'll pay their players
or
good
Cove.
Money. Not
Cove.
Like, I'm not saying like Kelty,
no
but they'll
Kelty,
be paying good money.
Cove chucked money at it, successful. Bonnie Rig, I was surprised that they actually won the league this year. So they've done very well to get to this stage.
Lots of people are now sharing that clip of Charlie Adams' assist, which is just sensational. You'll have to see this back. I don't like it on a Monday, Hugh. We already know at 3:30 what your howler of the weekend's going to be.
Yeah.
It'd be tough to top that. But we'll have a look. We'll keep our eyes peeled in case we get anything else.
I must say, Motherwell have gone close twice now. You get the impression that Motherwell bore even their own fans.
Well, that's
but
a great
gone
chance.
Twice.
Yeah, was it Ross Tierney?
Yeah.
Scored the header against Rangers. Doesn't
oh, it's a good chance. But you would expect him to do better. I think that's a terrific chance. Graeme Alexander, desperate for a result. You need a result. As much as you can tell everyone you're playing okay, you're creating chances, you just got to get that 3 points.
Well, for the sake of his own profile, because I've rarely known a manager, top six, and in with a shout of Europe, to be so roundly criticised by his own support.
They're spoiled, Hugh. The Motherwell fans are spoiled. They've had it.
Oh, Efford,
had it
Joe
good.
Efford's just been put through, but the shot was turned round the post by Laidlaw. Got to be more clinical. There's always going to be loads of ways of spinning it. You cannot put a positive spin on 1-1 in 15.
No.
You just can't.
No.
But I want, you know, I wonder.
Well, what if you've won the other
yeah
ones before that in a row?
Well, what I was going to say is, if you were a newcomer to the league, if you like, and you weren't looking at the recent runs, and you looked at two managers today separated by 1 point, one of them's a manager of the year contender and the other one's apparently going to get sacked,
yes,
by some people's estimation.
So when Ross County couldn't win in 10 games, Motherwell, you know, nobody was moaning about Graeme Alexander.
Obviously won a lot of games in that
yeah,
time, hence
yeah, yeah,
why they're 1 point behind Ross County. But well, it'll be an interesting summer. We'll keep an eye on what's going on. Motherwell probably should be in front by now, to be honest, at Dingwall, but they're not. That's the important thing. And it stays goalless there, like it is at Hibs Aberdeen and Livy St Johnston. And just the one goal, St Mirren 1, Dundee 0. Great assist from Charlie Adam. Yes, the opposition's Charlie Adam. And finished by Alex Greaves. Celtic winning 4-1 earlier on. You Celtic fans, I hope you're taking it easy out there with the celebrations, because we need you on the open line at 5. Get your thoughts into us, please.
Well, I doubt that. I don't think there'll be many out there taking it easy this afternoon. It looks like a nice day out there. And of course, the Celtic fans will still have the...
You do realise when you say it looks like a nice day out there, you're talking about the TV screen, which is a game in Dingwall, which
actually,
is like
that's a nice
3.5 hours
no,
that's a nice
window.
That wee space I can see.
It's pretty yeah cloudy in Clydebank.
Yeah, and well, the rain coming down doesn't help.
But this is a day that the Celtic supporters last July could never have foreseen, and they will celebrate tonight as champions, because that's what they are. And then they'll celebrate next weekend as well when the flag is run up the pole. It is an astonishing story. The whole season for Celtic and Rangers has been an astonishing story. You know, Celtic taking two trophies, you could never have envisaged that happening. Rangers in a European final, and with the possibility of winning a Scottish Cup for the first time in a decade. So it's been quite a tale.
I like this tweet from Loza Mack, because it's got a nice story to it as well. It says, in 1972 my dad sold his car and used the money to go to Barcelona to see Rangers win. 50 years later, I'm following in his footsteps and travelling to Seville for the Europa final and hoping we get the same outcome. Dad is no longer with us, so emotions are high. Are we travelling by car? So not selling that car, presumably. From Glasgow to Manchester, flying Manchester to Geneva with a 6-hour stop. Then on to Faro, followed by a 2-hour private hire bus to Seville. and I have a match ticket.
It's worth it then.
That's a game changer.
Yeah,
that's a game changer. The ticket.
Yeah, it's, see if you've not got the ticket. Oh, this looks good. See when you book it and on the screen or in paper, that's not too bad. See when you're sitting in a 6-hour stopover and you've still got another stopover at the other side, you'd probably be saying, I'm regretting this.
I mean, I can only dream of it, doing it for a European final. The first European trip I went on was when Motherwell played Nancy. Remember that? In France. But we flew to Frankfurt, stayed in Frankfurt, and drove through Luxembourg into France the next day. That's tame compared to some of these.
But you would have enjoyed that.
You got a nice wee stop over in Luxembourg. Yeah. You're never going to go to Luxembourg any other time. And it was beautiful. It was lovely.
Yeah. Remember Andy? It used to be here. Tino got to Luxembourg for a weekend.
He used this producer Andy, formerly of. He goes to like
weird places for the weekend.
He goes to like Moldova on his holidays. That guy.
He didn't go to Moldova.
You think I'm joking? He's been to Chernobyl twice. Now, I know that some people like to go as like out of curiosity. He's been twice. He went back.
Oh,
holidays like that guy.
I follow him on Instagram.
Producer Callum is much more boring than him when you think about it.
I know. Andy was, you know, erratic. You didn't know what you were getting every week.
He's been to Chernobyl twice.
Chernobyl, that's quite something.
Because I got hooked on that. Remember Sky?
That was good, that series.
Drama, I loved that. And the curiosity, I wouldn't mind maybe a wee day trip. I'm not sure I'd be going back for a second time.
Have you been in New York, Dazzler?
I've never been.
He's everywhere. Did you miss this conversation earlier?
I've never been here. I've been dragged all over the world, but never New York.
The first time I went to New York, we were picked up, four of us, for the World Cup draw in Madison Square Garden, 1992. And we were picked up in a stretch limo.
Oh.
And as we approached the Manhattan skyline, I said to the driver, "Can you stop? Are you going to be sick, sir?" I said, "No." "You want a recreation break, sir?" I said, "No."
A German driver.
Why was he English?
I said, "I've never been here before. I just want to stand outside. I want to take a moment." And New York smells like nowhere else and looks like nowhere else.
Were you on the beans and wine?
It was wonderful. Wonderful.
You've been in New York, Mark.
Aye. Oh, what a place. Let's not get too distracted. We're trying to talk about Europe at the moment. Bonnie Rigg Rose have taken the lead against County
Meath.
Sean Brown on 40 minutes. Are we getting ready to welcome a new team into the SPFL? It's Advantage Bonnie Rigg Rose. I must admit, right, we're having good fun with the journeys and the routes to get there. Some of the ticket stuff makes me uncomfortable. RW says, "My cousin bought a ticket for £500 before we got there. Went to get one today. They're now £1,600.
A ticket for the game?
Yeah.
I don't like that. Come on, I can get you one for £50. that's just fleecing the actual true fans.
That's a problem. People are going to do that. They're going to take advantage of.
But I heard, you know, for even the Champions League final, the split of tickets for these finals, just
9,000 for Rangers. It's
just crazy, you know.
9,000
for sponsorship and big corporates and that.
It's only a 40,000 seater stadium. I don't know, you know. Well, we've had the Champions League final here at Hampden. It was 50. You wonder if they would get to a stage where There must be enough stadia across Europe with 60,000 plus that you start saying, do you know what, for a European final, we don't dip below 60,000 or whatever, just to try and at least give a few more a chance.
I was surprised when you told me it was 40,000 capacity, because I'm sure it is.
I
remember
last night
being there in 2003, Celtic Porto.
42 apparently.
And it seemed vast.
Yeah. What they should do, UEFA, got an idea for them. Build their own stadium. 80,000 seater stadium.
Where?
And that's somewhere in Europe.
Anywhere in Europe.
And that's the final stadium. It's all about getting to the Champions League final or the Europa League final or the Conference League.
And it just
sits empty. Yeah, for the rest of the year.
Well,
mind me not to put him in charge of town planning around here, seriously.
He would have a big guy
to place in 2 minutes.
He'd have a big area for a camper vans.
You know my level of things.
Start to make a few.
Big fan zone.
Van zone.
There we go.
Right, Hugh, let's round off this teaser, shall we, and see what we can get on it.
The first half teaser with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
The There have been 8 players who played in the MLS who also had at least one Scotland cap at some point in their career. They are Lewis Morgan, Johnny Russell, Danny Wilson, Stuart Findlay, Gary Mackay-Stephen, Chris Cadden, Sean Maloney and Stephen Caldwell.
Stephen Caldwell, well done if you got them right. That was tough to get them all. A brilliant effort out there, I have to say.
Bonnie Rig 2 up, oh dear.
Scott's Abroad Pod has finally got his big moment. This was the question he was bound to dominate, and he's come third fastest, not as quick as Joseph, who was in second, and the winner was Derek Morrison. Well done to you. You know your MLS, sir. Well done.
We were so unlucky.
What was the only one you didn't get?
Well, we went Chris Boyd and missed out Stuart
Finlay.
Yeah. That was unlucky. Hit the bar.
Where is Bonnie Rig?
I don't know. I know.
I was just waiting on that because you are.
I'm not very good
geography
at directions.
Geography is horrific, and you actually said it with so much conviction. No, it's in Midlothian. It's near Dalkeith. It's not.
All right, it's not Falkirk. No. I think they are a different place.
Where?
Bonnie Bridge.
that's fair. Yep, no.
I've actually been there with Air United in a pre-season friendly as well.
That was good. Anything to add to that?
No, I don't know the score.
Good story that. Oh God, I'm not liking this. Scott Lorimer sending me. What? That can't be right. Scott Lorimer has just sent me a website for tickets for this Europa League final at £19,700 for the Category 1 ticket. I'd be wanting a whole lot more than a view of the game for £19,000. Say no more, Gordon Dalziel. Let's go to Livy. It's half time there, David Friel.
Half time, Gordon. Livingston 0, St Johnstone 0. It's very quiet, as this hasn't really been a classic, to be perfectly honest with you. St Johnstone need the win a lot more than Livy, but they'll need to be a lot better in the second half if they're going to get it. They actually made a really strong start and could have been ahead inside 20 seconds. Milka Halberg made a great run down the right and picked out Callum Hendry, but his first time shot flew over the bar. Livy were also bright early on. Joe Nubley showed great skill in their first attack to create space inside the box, but his shot was also off target. Stephen May had a shot saved easily by Ivan Konovalov in 4 minutes, but it was very scrappy after that. It took another half hour for the next attempt when Odin Bailey's shot was blocked by Liam Gordon. Andrew Shinney then fired over from a decent position, while St Johnstone striker May came a little bit closer with a curling shot before the break. But St Johnstone desperately need a goal. As things stand, they are definitely heading for the relegation playoff. Half time, Livingston 0, St Johnstone 0.
I think that's the only half time whistle so far. Not a lot happening there for David Friel. Hopefully he stays awake in the second half. 1 minute added on in Dingwall, so we'll get to Dave Galloway very soon indeed, where it looks like certainly it will finish the half goalless. Still nothing doing in Paisley or Easter Road, I don't think. Coatbridge Van Pirate pointing out, Hugh, which I should have pointed out earlier, it's a different stadium to the one you went to in 2003, so that explains why it's smaller than
well,
you thought.
No, that explains why I thought it was vast.
Absolutely.
Another place.
Coatbrig Van Pirate says they're going to London, to Lisbon, Faro and then Seville. That's not a bad route at all. The playoff games today as well. Dunfermline 0, Queen's Park 0. Wonder how our colleague Stephen Mills' nerves are.
Well, 0-0 the first leg as well, wasn't it? During the week. So it's tense stuff second half for Le Pars.
Absolutely. Right, still no other half-time whistles. Oh yes, we have one in Paisley. Roger Hannah.
We do indeed. St Mirren 1, Dundee 0. The worst howler on a football field in Scotland this season, or possibly any season, Gordon. Charlie Adam, just 4 minutes in, presented the ball straight to the feet of St Mirren striker Alec Grieve for a tap-in that has put Dundee a goal behind and staring relegation to the Championship square in the face. No idea what was going through Adam's head. He tidied up the ball. St Mirren had broken down the right-hand side. Marcus Fraser overlapped, played a ball in. It was tidied up by Adam. He took the ball out almost towards the corner on the left-hand side of his defence. A Cruyff turn, as you put it, back in and fired the ball across his own six-yard box in the vague direction of goalkeeper Harry Sharp. The goalkeeper had no chance. Greave couldn't miss it, and it put them 1-0 up. And really, Dundee have never recovered from that setback. St Mirren could be further ahead. Alec Gogic had a cross. It was headed by Curtis Main. It looked destined for the bottom corner until a fine save for Sharp after 20 minutes. 3 minutes later, Greg Kilty spun and fired in a shot from 20 yards, which flew just inches wide of Sharp's right-hand post. Dundee hardly seen as an attacking force. They tried to make progress down the left-hand side after 35 minutes. Jordan Marshall hauled down by Richard Tate for a booking, but St Mirren soon back in the front foot. Scott Tanzer crossing from the left after 37 minutes, headed over the top by Conor McCarthy. And then what looked to me like a decent penalty shout just seconds later, Greave coming into the box on the left-hand side, looked to be tripped by a Dundee defender, but referee David Dickinson waved play on. Dundee out of jail there, but they're really under pressure here. St Mirren 1, Dundee 0.
It's also half-time at Easter Road. Fraser Wishart.
Bury 0, Aberdeen 0. Unfortunately, been pretty much as expected. Not a lot of goal action. Lots of nice football in midfield without going anywhere. Really quiet atmosphere in the stands. Early part of the game was decent, but the tempo and the quality fell away pretty quickly. Hibs started brightly, had a chance in the fourth minute when Joe Lewis picked the ball up at his front post. He'd spilled a low cross. The ball fell to Declan Gallagher on the byline, who inexplicably rolled the ball back to the goalkeeper, who was lying on the floor. So the goalie had to pick it up. Referee gave, of course, a free kick for a pass back and pointed to 6 yard box to take it out. And Ryan Porteous got the ball touched to him. His blast was goal bound and hit Declan Gallagher over the bar. Good block by the big centre back. Paul Hanlon making his 500th appearance, headed a Joe Newell corner inches wide. As Hibs had the better of the early stages, the first time for the Dons fans to cheer came in the 16th minute when Andy Constantine came out for the warm up. His name was cheered loudly by the away support. They then had a penalty claim in 22 minutes. Conor Barron, young midfield player, outstanding throughout the first 45 minutes. Set Johnny Hayes in behind Hibs' defence. His cutback was volleyed goal-bound by Lewis Ferguson. Great block by Hanlon. And referee Bobby Mann said no to the handball claims from Lewis Ferguson. Johnny Hayes then testing Macy with a free kick from wide. A low shot and saved at the near post by the big goalkeeper. On the other end, a sharp turning shot by Elias Melkerson brought out a decent save by Joe Lewis. Full stretch by the big goalkeeper to fingertip the ball round the post. But that was it for the first 45. I think there'll be a goal or two in the second half, and anyone might just lift the tempo of the game. Halftime, Easter Road, Hibernian 0, Aberdeen 0.
Let's go to Dingwall and speak to Dave Galloway.
Ross County 0, Motherwell 0 at half time. The early pressure came from Ross County, forcing 3 quick corners, and Vokins let fly from distance to warm the hands of Kelly. They went close following another corner. The ball was worked to Cancola just outside the D, and he flashed a drive that flew just over the bar. But Motherwell did start to come into things. They forced a couple of corners, and O'Hara turned and shot wide. Effort got played through and forced County keeper Laidlaw into his first save. He smartly turned the ball around the post, and from the resultant corner kick, Shields had a chance, but his header went just over, landing on top of the net. Some decent passages of play by both sides in this first half, however, Goalmouth thrills and spills in pretty short supply. Only one effort each on target. The hosts with the lion's share of possession, but it's goalless here at the interval. Ross County 0, Motherwell 0.
And we will do a full roundup of the halftime scores next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Halftime scores in the Scottish Premiership. It's Hibs 0, Aberdeen 0, Livingston 0, St Johnstone 0, Ross County 0, Motherwell 0, and St Mirren 1, Dundee 0. A full time result from earlier, of course, Celtic 4, St Hearts 1, sorry. And that is a result that pretty much wraps up the title for Celtic. Now, we do have big playoff games for the bid to get into the Championship. It's Airdrie 0, Montrose 2. It's Dunfermline 0, Queen's Park 0. In the League One playoffs, Dumbarton 0, Edinburgh City 0, and Forfar 1, and in Athletic 0. And down at the bottom of the pyramid, it is Cowdenbeath who trail Bonnyrigg Rose 2-0 in the first leg there. So that could be a huge afternoon for all involved. Let's go back to Paisley, because you've got a bit of a half-time ceremony. Roger Hannah.
Yeah, really nice. Tony Fitzpatrick, who stepped down a couple of months ago as club chief executive, is now an ambassador of the club, having served, of course, as player, captain, manager twice. Very nice presentation. It has emerged that Tony has lost his 1987 Scottish Cup winners medal. He was in that side under Alex Smith and Jimmy Bowen. They defeated Dundee United at Hampden. And the club, as a mark of thanks for all Tony's service over 30 odd years, have commissioned a new replacement medal. It's been presented to Tony on the pitch here at the Smyzer Stadium by one of the directors, and he said a few words. I think he's quite overwhelmed by the generosity of the gesture by St Mirren.
And did they get Charlie Adam to present it, given the way he's presented a goal already this afternoon?
Well, that was certainly the first presentation of the afternoon. If you haven't seen it, if any of the listeners haven't seen it, go to your Twitter, Gordon, go to my Twitter. You will be aghast at what you're about to witness, and particularly, I think, with stakes so high for Dundee. If St Johnson get a goal at Livingston and things stay the same here, Dundee are relegated, and that really is would be a dreadful full stop on the end of the season.
So well done to Tony Fitzpatrick. Great service to St Mirren, getting recognition from the home crowd in Paisley this afternoon. It's all set up really for an interesting second half, because Ross County Motherwell is still in the balance. It's goalless there. Remember, a victory for Motherwell would see them leapfrog County into the last remaining European spot. There's not a great deal to play for between Hibs and Aberdeen. Goalless there. Livy St Johnston, goalless there. St Johnston can't really do much anyway. They'd be looking to stave off Dundee, but they might not have to, because Dundee are losing at St Mirren, as Roger Hanna has just told us. So we will go back to the second halves next.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.